And welcome to another episode of Power On Podcast Portable. Hello, everyone. I am Sushi B. And with me, of course, is the venerable, the wonderful, the amazing Taylor, Murugaru 553. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing good, but you do me too much.
No, that sounds wrong. Why don't we?
I had to start it off that way because this is going to be a fun episode.
I'm pulling my collar as we speak, loosening the tie. but again, yes, welcome to another episode. We have a very interesting one lined up for you today, and we have been able to diversify our consoles once again, and we are hitting the N64 today for a very special review. What do you got to say there about this, Taylor?
I'm going to say that for the game itself, I don't know. Let's see where this discussion leads us, because I'm still on the fence about it, to be honest.
All right, well, let's do that then. So the game we will be discussing today is the N64. I think most people would feel it is a classic, and that would be Paper Mario.
Dun-da-da.
Right, so Nintendo sort of taking the Mario RPG formula back from Square and kind of starting it over again with intelligent systems.
Right, I'll be honest, when I saw, I remember seeing the commercials on TV when this game was coming out, and I was super excited to play it, and I never got the chance to at all. So this was really my first time actually playing through it, and yeah.
Well, I remember the commercials too, and wasn't there something like Bowser was in the castle and Mario tries to go in the castle, and then it shows like a paper shredder or something. Is
like,
that right?
Something like that, and like Bowser has,
it's like Paper Mario like in the middle,
right?
The,
like Peach dangling over a paper shredder or something. I don't know if it was the castle or if it was like an ice cave or something. It was like gray or blue or something. I don't remember the details of it now. I just remember seeing that and going, oh man, I'm so excited, I want it, you know.
Right.
And it never, I don't think I ever saw it like in a physical form of the game at all.
Okay.
So,
well, that's fair. I mean, the funny thing about where I was living was I lived really close to a retro game store, and this was kind of a big deal at the time. And they had a lot of consoles, but the one console that they had more than enough of was the N64. They had maybe like 40 or 50 of them easy in their back storeroom. And they were even using one as a doorstop in the summer because they had so many of them. They had nothing else to use to open the door. They were just like, let's just put an N64 because no one buys these things.
Well, because I'm going to be honest, the Nintendo 64, not a very good system.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people do hold a lot of affinity towards it, though. But I know for me, and I'm not because I actually really disliked the PlayStation when it first came out, too. But the N64, to me, was not really something that captured my attention pretty much at all.
Mm. Yeah, I when I got it for Christmas, somebody else in the house got a PlayStation. And while we drifted and played a little bit of the 64, it eventually became more about playing the PlayStation.
Okay.
So, like, there are a few games that are really enjoyable on the 64, just not enough to be like, yeah, this is it.
Right.
Quest 64, baby.
Aiden Chronicles or whatever. didn't that game not even, like, didn't get released without even being completed or something? Like, couldn't you... I think somebody was telling me you get like to a certain point in the game and it just stops.
Like, it's just like you're done.
It doesn't even tell you you're done. It's just it like freezes and it doesn't work or something. I this could be just rumor for all I know, but when I heard that, I was like, huh, I'm really not going to buy that game now. The N64 is really weird to me. I bought it in about maybe 2002 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty late in the life, or if not already done.
I
by
think
that
it was
point.
Dead.
And and Paper Mario was one of the reasons, actually. It was one of the games I did buy the system. I only own, to this day, maybe 7 or 8 games. And I mean, I never play them. I just, again, this is not, to anyone who likes N64, we're not trying to, you know, bash it or anything. But to me, I just didn't feel anything special about the N64. I wasn't a fan of Mario 64. I didn't like Ocarina of Time. There wasn't anything personally for me there except for a couple of games. Paper Mario and a few others were the ones that did pull me in enough to be like, well, you know, I'll pay the I think I paid like $35 or something for the system. It wasn't expensive. Got a couple of controllers, got a couple of games. So I was like, yeah, you know, and this is at the time when I like collecting a lot too. So I was like, yeah, might as well get an N64.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
But this is so, about Paper Mario.
Yes, it is about Paper Mario. But let's get right into this. Now, I think, as I said, Intelligent Systems had worked on this. And I mean, you're probably very familiar with them, I presume. But maybe if other people aren't, they have done a lot of work with a number of franchises, particularly, though, the Advance Wars games or Famicom Wars and Fire Emblem. Those would be their two sort of
bread and butter
go-to, bread and butter type franchises. But they have done some other things like, I don't know if you remember Battle Clash on the Super NES?
Nope.
Which was a Super Scope game. They had the second game as well, Metal Combat or whatever it was. They've worked on some of the, I think maybe all of the Paper Mario games, if not all, most of them. And I'm trying to think what else they might have done. I think I remember something. They helped work on Super Metroid? If I recall.
I'm not aware of that, but I, when you say Intelligent Systems, I mainly think of just Fire Emblem and Famicom Wars. So.
Right. And I think they might have had some sort of helping hand with the Super Metroid's development as well. Maybe not fully doing something on it, but I think they might have helped out.
Okay.
But yeah, they're definitely known for particularly their sort of strategy type games.
Right.
And Paper Mario. So let's get into this here, though, with Paper Mario 64. So this game was released in 2001, which is surprising to me, actually. I thought it was a little bit older than that.
It's the same here.
I thought it was maybe like a 98, 99 type release. So late 90s, it felt like. I would not have thought it would have been a 2000s game.
No, I remember when I found out, or when I looked at it and I was like, what, this came out in 2001? What the you know? It's like, I distinctively remember seeing this as a commercial when I was in middle school. And thankfully, I started high school in 2000. So, you know, it's easy enough to be like, oh yeah, I started high school in 2000. So it's not, so I could be like, there's an easy divide there, and I could be like, okay. And I swore up and down before I started playing this that I was like, oh, this game came out in like 98 or something. No way in hell this came out in 2000, 2001.
Sure enough. Yeah, which would mean it was late in the life of the N64. And so I don't know if that means that people might have skipped over it or just kind of didn't even touch it. I mean, it definitely has the look of, unfortunately, the N64, maybe more so than the previous two and Nintendo consoles, was definitely the time when people were really getting on about the Nintendo franchises being just too kiddie.
Not much.
And Paper Mario did not help that image at all, right? People looked at it and just thought, wow, this is just childish Mario now, or this is like cutesy Mario.
They've never played Dakuga Kids then, assholes. But
well, every console has their games, right? Right. But Nintendo does take a lot of heat for that, which I think is unwarranted in a lot of ways. If they make fun games, who cares?
I agree. But, yeah, I don't see why if it's more cartoonish that should be a negative. To me, it can be a bit more creative to have something be more cartoonish and kind of, for lack of a better word, cutesy, instead of making it ultra realistic or something.
Right, right. I mean, Nintendo has continued to do that to this day with things like the Kirby Epic Yarn. They do keep that sort of cutesy vibe, but they seem to find a lot of, at least their sort of development teams, find different ways to flesh out that more, instead of just, it's going to always be cutesy, but they find some sort of coat of paint that make it look a little new and different. Again, this probably still hurts them in a lot of ways, which is really unfortunate, but it works in a lot of times for me. I grew up playing Mario games. I don't have a problem with them looking cute.
No, yeah, I for me, it's kind of, I guess it is a bit of a nostalgic as well there. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, cool. It's old kind of style. Yay. I mean, not too much of a tangent, but Super Mario 3D Land, whatever the the fuck, this, whatever. Yeah. It's super cutesy, but you know, I really enjoy how that looks, and it's like, I don't mind that it's like that. It doesn't have to be here's this ultra edgy, super duper kind of realistic Mario. I don't fucking need that. If I want realistic stuff, I'll just go outside. Really easy there. If I want realism, I'll go outside. So that's just kind of how I see that. I don't need, like, of course, yeah, you can have some that are pretty cool, but it's not a necessity for gaming, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like then we both would be very supportive of the sort of take that they went with this game to have it look pretty cutesy. An interesting concept to have paper. It's not really utilized a lot, but I think they more or less just took the name Paper Mario to just sort of have this. It almost looks like Mario has been sketched on paper.
Yeah, I don't, honestly, because this is the only Paper Mario game that I've played. I don't know if they kind of try to explore actual paper-like qualities, which, whatever. But it feels like a bit of a sham that they use this kind of graphical style, but they don't really kind of explore it much in the game, it feels like.
Right.
So
yeah, I agree. I think, now I haven't played the others either, but I do remember seeing previews or commercials for some of the later games, and I think I remember seeing, it might be this, the one on the GameCube, the Thousand Year Door. I think he can turn into a paper airplane in that, or
that's
something.
Awesome.
I think there's
why
a few other things.
Why didn't we play that one instead?
I don't know. I have it. I don't know why. And we're talking about Paper Mario. But I think they might have implemented more things as time went on. Maybe they were pushed for time. Who knows? We don't know exactly. Mm. So, but it works for me. I think it looks fine. I think it was a nice change a little bit for Mario. It is a bit of an odd choice for it to be in an RPG format, though. Not bad, but a little odd to me. Not so much of just being like, well, we could have just made a platformer look like this. We could have just made a puzzle game that looks like this. They could have done a lot of things.
Yeah, I guess when you put it that way,
you know what? The puzzle game probably would have taken advantage of the paper fact.
Right. Yeah, when you say it, yeah, when you put it that way, definitely. Yeah, it is a bit of a weird choice to be like, hey, let's do an RPG like this. Mm. So, at least they tried.
Yeah, no, I don't condemn them or something. Right. Like, oh, you know, you guys shouldn't have done it.
Damn it, Nintendo.
Right. But it is a bit of an interesting choice. I think, let's move on from there. I don't want to keep razzing on that too much. Why don't we get right into sort of the plot and the story of this game?
It's a Mario game.
It is. It's pretty generic to start. Like, it's what you expect. Bowser's up to his old tricks again, sort of thing.
Well, that's sneaky Bowser.
Yeah. Well, he's not that sneaky, but...
Well,
not in this game, anyways.
He's sneaky enough to be able to pull off some of the things that he does.
Sort of. In this game, he's pretty flamboyant and open about his plan. He's constantly pretty much blurting it out, so...
Well, yeah, like...
Because he thinks he's all-powerful.
Right. And how, like, basically he steals... I'm assuming they just call it the Star Rod in English.
That thing's a Star Rod,
okay.
Yeah.
So he gets a hold of that, and he can make wishes with it, and he'll wish what he damn well pleases. Right. Which, I mean, yeah, it sets it up so he can be all high and mighty and huffy-puffy, but...
He doesn't make too many wishes, though.
He doesn't utilize it very well. He does a lot of huffing and puffing, but he doesn't actually say anything. That really warrants wishing there. He just has underlings do it, and he has the underlings wish for things. And
right.
Usually they're pretty shitty wishes.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. But
so the one thing just to jump back a little bit to the animation, I do like the look of Bowser in this. He looks really funny to me.
he doesn't look
he looks kind of cool compared to a lot of the other characters. Hmm. He looks like he fits.
I think for the most part, probably the one that looks a little maybe odd, Peach looks a little strange to me.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know, just maybe it's just because she just, her face looks a little small, I guess, comparatively to...
Her body shape looks a little funky and stuff to me, too. I think it doesn't help that whenever this game decides to zoom in, it pixelates it a lot. Mm-hmm. And Peach gets zoomed in a lot. So she looks kind of all, I don't know, just like a smudge sort of a lot of the time.
Hey, she's not applying makeup properly or something.
I don't know.
She's a nervous wreck.
I guess so. Well, she should be because she's stuck in a castle high above the world sort of thing. And so
I guess that's the thing is with the game is that it's broken up into chapters, which
right.
I like that. I like that device mm-hmm. in games when they do that for whatever reason. And maybe it's just because I really like reading books or something. Who knows? It's really nothing major, but I'm like, oh, chapter, cool. But how they do it with this is you'll play through a chapter with Mario, and then there's kind of this, like, what the hell do they call it?
Interlude?
Like the Interazo or something? Yeah, interlude. And when it goes to the interlude, it flips over to Peach and what the hell she's doing in her castle, and then you control Peach, and sometimes you have to do annoying little
menial tasks
like making cakes or trying to like eavesdrop on guards and
open a door
right find a secret passageway, read diaries. What a snoop,
right?
I mean, yeah, seriously.
Well, and I mean Bowser catches her like, well, and if it's not him then somebody else catches her
eight times all,
and they don't really punish her, they're just like, send her back to her room.
Like, really? They
you have the ability to wish for anything you want. And he's just like, send her back to her room. She's making me mad.
Make me angry.
He has a great line, though, Bowser. And I don't know about the Japanese text and stuff, but some of the English text is a little edgy, if you will, for a Mario game. Some of the stuff they say, like, jerk. They say, I'm a little foggy now. It's been a few days since I played it, but I even to see like the word jerk, I was like, wow, really? They put the word jerk in this? I was surprised. Not just like duty head or something.
Oh god, that would have been really bad. I will say this, yeah, it's hard to say with like Japanese text, because I mean it's not vulgar, so there's right.
It's never vulgar, but
I mean it is a little harsher than what you may expect, but In a lot of Japanese RPGs, you'll have that are kind of cutesy, maybe characters try to talk rough to seem tough.
Right.
So it's no big deal. So it's just kind of like, oh, it's
but it doesn't work.
Right. You're just kind of like, oh, it's so, quit being so goofy, Koopa.
Right. But he has one line where, I don't know, Peach, I think he keeps saying, like, give me a kiss or look at me. Like, keeps saying, like, the same thing, essentially. And at one point, she says something to the effect of, I'll never kiss you or kiss you because you're a dirty lizard or something like that. And all he says is, don't be such a pill. That was the translation. I got a decent chuckle out of that.
You know what he wanted to say there, but there are children around.
Oh, sure, but don't be such a pill. Which is funny because I've probably heard that maybe like five times in my life or something like that. But to hear it in this, I thought that was pretty, not only just clever, but funny. I thought I actually did get a good laugh out of it.
That's probably the only laugh you got out of it. Ah, zing!
Nah. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the humor that's in this, it feels like they're just trying too hard in a lot of cases, for me, anyways. I don't mind it, but it just didn't work that well.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it just didn't jive with me. There's just some things with it just was like, eh.
Right.
Like, there's one scene where, what the hell is the orb guy, Misto guy that, like, can help you, because he'll give you hints on what to do next if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, the sort of fortune teller?
Right. When you first meet him and everything. And right. He does that whole, they repeat the joke twice. And that he's so long-winded that Mario falls asleep.
Right.
And then they do it again later. And you're just like, really?
Right.
And that's the kind of humor. And unfortunately, we're, I think, too old for that.
A little bit.
So it just doesn't work for us.
Right. And it's a bit weird because I wouldn't really say this is a game necessarily for kids. It could be a really challenging game for someone very young. It's not that easy.
I would say it's there to make the kid take as long as possible so that the parent has a quote-unquote suitable babysitter for it. So I,
maybe,
I
maybe.
Use those quotes very, very, very loosely.
Mm.
So.
All right. Well, I mean, anything else you want to bring up about the plot? It's pretty straightforward.
Not really. It's the pacing's goofy as hell. I'll say that.
Yeah.
There's some chapters that are really short, and then you'll have like a really long chapter.
Near the end of the game, I would say the last three chapters are pretty long, especially compared to the other parts.
I don't know. Like, the volcano chapter's fairly short. I didn't think it was that long.
Well, I'm thinking more 6, 7, 8.
Even the last chapter wasn't. I didn't think the last chapter was that long.
Mm. Well, we'll get into it because I've got some gripes with the last chapter.
6 and 7 were long, but I was more so thinking of the Gusty Gulch one. The third one. No, the second chapter. Second chapter was really.
Oh, the dry desert.
Yeah, that was really long.
Dry ruins. That was pretty long.
And you have like the first chapter, which
go
is
to
like,
the city, then go back to the desert, go back to the city, go back to the desert.
Like Jesus Christ, okay. And then, you know,
find the palm tree. Find the rock.
Find the lemon to give to this asshole, so he'll be your friend. Right. And you're like, come on. All right. Oh yeah, but okay, that's enough of.
Sure. Yeah. Let's move on from there. I mean, where would you like to steer this?
Well, things it was is kind of starting to get to that. I guess the side companions, because Mario kind of does this on his own, except for the side companions he brings along with him.
Right.
So.
Well, not typically by choice. they just sort of tag along.
Right.
So we get what? What do you get? Like eight. Right. So we get 8 different characters. I would say that I don't mind the idea of the characters, but the fact of the matter is, as useful as they can be, they're incredibly useless at the same time. And I say that because they don't have the ability to do everything Mario can. They're either going to attack or change. That's pretty much all they can
do. They have their specials, though. Their specials can be pretty helpful.
Sure, but I mean, their specials are part of their attack.
Oh, I see.
Repertoire, okay. Right? They can only pretty much attack because they can't defend themselves, and they can only change into another character. That's right. All they can basically do, which is a bit unfortunate. I feel like they should have at least fleshed them out a little bit more, given them a little more of a what's the word I'm searching for here? Just
a role
purpose,
in the battle.
Well, purpose, sort of. They're just like all they are there for is attacking. And that's fine, but it just feels like they don't really add much to the strategy. It's just, well, you just keep attacking with them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't mind them, per se. I just, more so it bugged me when you'd have enemies that would just attack them, and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Well, that's just garbage.
Right? And you're just kind of like, well, that's poopy. That's
right, and they usually get knocked out for 2 or 3 rounds.
Right, and so you're stuck having to soldier on with Mario and just do his business, and it's basically just Mario. These other assholes are really just there to kind of support, just kind of wave the party flags and like, oh, Mario.
Right. Sometimes they don't even do a good job of that. So, well, let's get into some of the characters, though. We're definitely alluding to them, so let's bring them up. What about your buddy, Goombario?
Oh, yeah, he's totally my dog.
Man, they did not need this character. They really didn't.
No, they did not need a which is just weird to me. I'm gonna be like really honest here. This would be like Anne Frank rooting for Hitler almost, kind of.
Wow.
Well, I mean, Mario kills Goombas all the goddamn time, and they're
right.
Like, here's this nice Goomba family, and Goomba's just like, I'm a fan of yours, Mario.
Right. Don't kill me.
Don't kill
me. I want to be your friend.
I mean, it's just really, really weird.
Yeah, he's not. It's too bad. Goombas are some of my favorite just characters in the whole Mario franchise, but here, I pretty much despise the character. I despise that whole Goomba family. I just don't like them. I don't like that a Goomba has a mustache and he's just annoying because you got to deliver like 3 letters to him throughout the game. And I just don't like them at all.
Oh, yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
Goomba Village and wherever they live.
Yeah, and there's not even that many of them to begin with.
No, no.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, it really all right, well, sucks.
Forget about him. Let's move on. Next we've got I don't know if the Japanese names are very different.
Oh, they're so Cooper. Different. They're so different.
Okay, well, Cooper is the Koopa guy with the blue shell.
Okay.
He's all right.
He's okay.
His sort of special ability is that Mario can jump on him on the sort of map screen and he can grab things that are at a distance. Mm. Unfortunately, he becomes pretty obsolete, though. Like, he's not really used after a certain point of the game. He might be used once or twice later on, and that's about it.
I actually used him a bit later on because there's some enemies that really take a whooping with his fire.
Oh, I'm talking about more so like to pick up items and stuff. Okay. Yeah, he's useful in battle for sure because there's certain enemies like you can't jump on them or hammer will work on them, but other attacks don't work where the shell is the only thing that'll hit him because it's low.
Right.
Whatever. No, in battle, he's pretty good. I don't mind him.
I see what you're getting at. Yeah, they don't really more utilize like
the puzzles his and stuff. He's not really used
very much, except for near the end. He does get a
near
little
the end. He's used one more time. He's pretty important, but yeah. Essentially, yeah, he's kind of pushed off to the side pretty quick.
Well, I think for the most part, each one they're good for their chapter, but then they're for the most part they don't get used as much.
Right.
Maybe like very sparingly afterwards. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go on to Bombette, which is the little
Pinky bomb.
She's good, actually, in battle. She's definitely up there. Her main attack is kind of poop, but her special attacks are really good.
Very strong. Take a lot of SP or FP. FP. But,
FP.
But yeah, they can do some damage.
Yeah, they're good. They're really powerful. She's got the one that can attack anything on screen, mm-hmm. which is really helpful. But it's also, what is it, maybe 8 points or something?
Something really it's high.
Quite expensive. Quite expensive.
Yeah.
But I like her. And she's good.
I don't know. I don't mind her when you're using her out of battle. It's just, it feels a little long. You're just kind of like, come on, just explode already. I mean, I think you can use the hammer to hit her with it and she'll blow up quicker, but
really,
I think so. I could be wrong, but I
just walk away if I accidentally do it.
I'm just kind of like, come on, just I don't know. It's a little lengthy. That and the next one that comes up.
Yeah. Okay. So the next guy we got here is Paracarry, who is a paratrooper,
and he is terrible.
He's good at the start. He's actually really good.
Oh
at
yeah,
the
you think he's gonna?
But
be
then
awesome.
You find out. You find out real fast that his attacks pretty much can't hit anybody.
Right.
Like anybody who's got a spike, anybody who's got lightning, anything. He's pretty much useless, except for the fact that he can carry Mario outside of battle.
Right, and it's such a slow process too. This oh man, he's
little this, goofy hover that this, starts to sink after.
He needs to like do some push-ups or something. And, like, really, because it's so slow. That's one goddamn thing I hate about this game, is that when you're trying to do the specials with the characters and stuff, some of them are really slow, and it's just annoying. Like, seriously, like, half the characters are just slow.
Right.
And it's just, why? Why? Because it's not a very fast game to begin with.
No, it isn't.
And unless you waste your badge points to equip things to spin longer, you're gonna. Yeah. It just takes a long time.
It does take a long time.
So,
but well, let's get into that a bit after. Let's continue on here. We got Lady Bo or
Bao
or whatever Bao, whatever you want to call.
Or something? I have. Yeah, they have a much different name for her. So, but
what's her Chinese name?
Desa. Because it's like because they don't call them boos in Japanese. They call them like Teresa.
Okay.
So it's kind of just a spinoff of that.
Okay. She's decent enough. She's cool because she can do quite a bit of damage. But there's a lot of things that she can't hit,
right.
Unfortunately, as well. But if you do have certain enemies that she is able to strike against, well, she can do like, about 6 points of damage. She's pretty strong.
Yeah. Like, I like her special, the one that'll allow you to kind of go invisible. I mean, it has so little use in like the field maps.
Right, right.
But in battle, it's pretty nice if you're kind of fighting some really strong enemies, cough, anti guys. Because what it does is it'll turn Mario invisible and the enemy just whiffs. Which, I mean, you have some others that do similar things, but there's a chance that you get hit. But with hers, it's what you're whiffing.
Right, you're completely invincible, basically. Yeah, so she is a pretty good character. She's pretty useful. Most of her other specials are not so good, though.
No. Nah. No.
All right, well, we'll go on to here. This is my personal favorite character out of all of them, and that would be Watt.
Same here.
Yeah, Watt is good because she can fly up to hit enemies in the sky. She can hit enemies that are low. Pretty much no one can block her. There might be a couple of characters that can block her attacks, but because she's basically a ball of lightning, they can't stop her.
Yeah, I don't know. There might be only a couple that really take one point off of for defense, but right. Everything else is just, you know, they even freaking even Koopa, he just takes those hits like,
oh, he like takes like a little. She's the one that smokes them.
Like, yeah, it's just like, come on.
She's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a decent character. Her outside of battle stuff is, it's all right. I mean, you can help find some secrets, but the problem is this game just has a lot of secrets, but the problem is they're just so random a lot of the time. You're just like, well, if I pick her up here, I might suddenly see a box. And it's like, there are times where they hint at, yes, there will be something in this room, but there are plenty of times where you're just like, whoa, I found something.
And usually it's really nothing major.
Typically it isn't.
It's like, oh, it's an item that I already have three of.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Well, let's keep going then, since we both seem to like Watt. The next we have is
it's Sushi. You.
With an E.
Yeah.
So the Cheep. And I found her to be decent. I mean, in battle, she's pretty strong. She can do some pretty good damage when she hits stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is spiked characters just put her down, so.
And, yeah, out of battle, slow. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, so slow. Like that swimming action, you're just constantly pushing that dive, hoping it goes faster, but it doesn't. Oh, so slow.
So slow. Like, right.
You can make three sandwiches and crack a beer open before she gets across the screen, pretty much. Right. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you're not kidding, though, when it comes to this game is pretty slow.
Yeah. I think that's something to take from this game. It is a very, very slow game.
It's a slow burn.
But definitely useful for the chapter that you get her, because if you level her up right. If you level her up to be able to use her water spout, her water spit,
that's a good one.
It totally rocks that
one
that
boss
chapter.
We'll get into we'll get into that.
So
for sure.
And then the last one,
the last guy.
Now you take this. Now, I actually like this one.
Now he's not bad, but you get him so damn late in the game. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. He is useful in the last chapter. There's a few parts where he's pretty much the only guy that can damage some of these enemies. And he's, I'm probably going to butcher the names, like Lacky Lester or something.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he joins the team. I don't like how Mario's just like, yeah, whatever. I'll take you, I guess. He seems to be bored of life or something.
he's a man lost in a myriad of life's choices.
Right. He's just, I don't really like the way he's just sort of slapped on to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's useful to get over what, like spikes and lava and stuff. But even then, I'm just like, they could have just avoided this entirely. They could have just had the bird guy fly over a small pit or something. Like, that's all they could have done instead of having him. He's pretty much important for two particular puzzles that I can think of. And one is over some spikes. Or spines, and the other is over some lava, and that's about it. So I'm just like, well, I didn't need this guy overall.
His uses outside of battle are pretty minimal. In battle, he's got some pretty good tricks up his sleeve.
I mean, he's all right.
The spiny throwing technique. I mean, it's like one. It's the first skill, like the first special that he has, I think, or no, the second special. Because the first special he has is kind of the avoiding cloud that you can cast on Mario so that you can have him be able to dodge X amount of attacks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least have the chance to dodge them. But then he has that the spiny throw skill where you just tap the left button a handful of times and it already maxes out. And it's just like, okay, here's 3-4 damage to all of the enemies on screen. And that is very helpful for some of the bosses I found.
So. Right. Fair enough. All right, well, why don't we move on from there? And you've already mentioned somewhat about the chapter. So why don't we just quickly, don't go into too much detail, but just kind of quickly look at the different sort of areas Mario can explore in this game.
Oakley-dockley.
All right, so chapter one, we get the... Now, before you mentioned the chapters, each chapter shows a little silhouette of sort of what you're going to be dealing with as a boss in each area. And they tell you the title of the area and everything. So the first one here we got is the Koopa Bros Fortress. Now, to me, this is it's just very generic. It's fine because it's just sort of a setup of this is kind of what you're going to be dealing with for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I don't mean it in a bad way, though. I just mean it more like this. It's sort of what you expect, though. You know, when you play a game, you're kind of expecting the first area to be a little generic. Sometimes they do surprise you with something, very explosive, and then it's all downhill from there. But this sort of just sets up, okay, this is sort of how you're going to be dealing with puzzles. This is what you're going
to
be doing.
Right, and just to clarify things you didn't kind of mention it before, is that what Mario is doing is he's having to round up these star people to kind of get them back because Koopa has taken them in. And he's kind of captured them, and Mario has to release them to be able to fight against the power of the Star Rod kind of thing. So,
right. It's basically the plot from Super Mario RPG. So, a lot of voices.
A little different.
A little bit, but it's a little borrowed. Some borrowed. The stars are actually useful here, though. That's the thing. The stars actually do help you in battle. So.
Yeah.
Some of them.
But anywho, You basically.
So we got the Koopa Fortress here.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind it actually as a setup chapter. It's a good pace for it. It's kind of challenging at first because
it is.
Like if you go into it without really. Knowing what to expect, it can put you on your ass real quick.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, let's move along. But I don't want to spend too much time on this because there's still plenty of other things we need to discuss.
Right.
So chapter two is the dry ruins. So this is after you sort of get into the desert and you go to this one desert town, and after dealing with all of that sort of craziness that's with that, you finally get to this secret sort of dungeon area that's in the middle of the desert, and I mean I like the setup for it, but any area is okay. It's not bad. It's got some kind of cute funny things with the chomps and stuff, but it's a little long. It's a little long-winded for sure.
The best thing is just the angry happy dust devils. Those guys are awesome. They're just minding their own business.
Sort of harkening back to like the one stage in Mario 3 that has the sun and the tornado, like the dust devils in it.
Right.
It's sort of like a combo of those two.
But much kind of.
But goofier.
Yeah, goofier. I don't know. I like
and there's. Hey, speaking of slow, there are multiple times where people in the town will be like, watch out for them dust devils. And I'm like, what? Why?
You'd have to.
I'm slow and they're slower than me. Like, I think I walked into one once to see what would happen because they never get close to you.
Right.
So, yeah, anyways, that's a decent chapter, though, a decent area. Mm. Okay, next one here we have the Gusty Gulch. And this is shortly after we get Bao or Bo or whatever you want to call her, after you search her haunted mansion, and we head out to this Gusty Gulch right after.
Right.
Now, my problem with this area was that it felt pretty much just like it was the desert area, but that it was a ghost town.
Kind of. I like it, but it's just really short. It's not... You have to go through this little kind of haunted forest maze thing for before. You get to the, right. the haunted house, and then you get to this. It's not even really a gulch that's kind of the main focus. It's this little fortress that you have to go right. through. So I don't mind the design. It just feels like it's just kind of... It's just a mixed bag of things. So it's not there's not really a focus really on one area as much as there's kind of like four areas in the whole chapter that you kind of go to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. After that, we venture in back into Toad Town, which we hadn't mentioned, which is giant. It's a really big area.
It's so big.
It's really big, and then we get stuck in a toy box. Now, what do you feel about the toy box?
I don't mind it. I like Shy Guys. I think Shy Guys are cool. They're yep. right up there with Goombas, Goombas and Shy Guys. So, I personally didn't mind it. I kind of like, because it fits with the, I guess you could say with the graphics and stuff, it's kind of like, okay, sure. cool, yeah, whatever. It wasn't too difficult for me, so.
Right. Yeah, it definitely fits in with a lot of the motif for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, well, after that, then we head off to Lava Island, I guess, after dealing with a little issue with a whale, and we meet some Yoshis.
Yeah, this place sucked.
Now, I actually got stuck here at one point because I didn't see when I was on the sushi, cheap cheap, and I didn't see that there was one sort of little... island area on the bottom left corner mm-hmm. that I had to go to get like one of the final baby Yoshi things, and I was probably stuck for like an hour because I didn't see it, and I was getting really pissed off at this game at this point, partly because that fish is damn slow couldn't for whatever reason I couldn't see it. The game has this weird scale effect where if you're at the top of the screen you can't see anything except Mario and like what's very nearby Mario. And then once you move to the bottom of the screen, then you can suddenly see everything. And I didn't really like that very much. That's why I didn't see some things sometimes like that. I didn't swim to the bottom of the screen and actually look to the left over that much. And I would always just swim around this little island part and not even bother to go the other way. So it's like, it's not really a camera problem. It was just sort of like a scale issue.
Seems like operator problem. Oh.
Could be that too. I don't know if you didn't. Maybe you didn't.
Affected by that. I didn't have an issue with that. So
I personally just thought I would have liked to have been able to see more of what's surrounding from all areas because you can't turn the camera, you can't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's just my personal gripe. But this area, I don't like the start of it. I like the volcano part though.
I do like the volcano part, but yeah, I don't like. The Yoshi, I would take having to race Boshi over
dealing with all those other
finding the baby Yoshis. I would say though that I like seeing the ravens because I like the ravens. The ravens.
No, those guys are pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, another area that isn't so cool was in Chapter 6, and that was the flower fields.
Wait, isn't there one before? Really?
Nope. No, you go straight from the lava island straight to the lava.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The flower fields.
Yeah, you get it.
And I hate this area.
This area's terrible.
It's too much backtracking. And not only that, it's going from one end of the whole area to the other end constantly.
It's not that far. It's just there's
you're that slow.
You're that slow. That you have to it's a branching was it six branching paths you have to take from the
right.
central area, and then you're like, oh, I gotta go this way, oh, I've gotta give this thing, oh, I have to get this thing to give to this thing so I can
right.
do say, oh, I gotta go get this other thing. It's just, it is one big freaking fetch quest of nonsense. And
then the boss comes out of nowhere. It's just like, and here's the boss now. It's like, what?
Yeah, and yeah, you basically get done fetch questing and you go up into the clouds and... Yeah. Yeah. I would say the only good thing about that is the tower where the sun is has some really good music. I like that.
Yeah.
That was about the only glimmering...
Redeeming point, aspect of the area.
Of it was that. It was just so bad.
Pretty annoying area.
And the thing about it is you have to have like all the flowers. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Because if you don't collect the seeds along the way...
You don't collect the seeds, you're done. You could be stuck.
You could be stuck. And it's,
that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, thankfully that didn't happen. Otherwise, I would have.
Oh, me too.
Ate my controller at that point because.
Right, because they don't give you. That looks like it's a side quest.
Yeah.
It does not look significant at all. And then they're like, no, this is the sixth area. And you're like, what?
Right. And you're just like, huh?
It's definitely thrown at you.
This chick plants flowers and then a magical door opens? What the f- I mean, I could deal with the mushrooms making Mario big, but this is just a little weird.
I don't know if it was so much weird as I was just a bit annoyed. Like, again, like you, I picked up the seed. So I was like, fine, this looks like it's an easy side quest.
Right.
I don't mind doing this. And then when they're just suddenly all out of the blue, no, this is where you need to go. And it's like, well, whoa, what if I didn't even bother to pick up those seeds because I just thought, oh, whatever, this looks dumb.
Yeah, like this.
Then
this
you're screwed. You got to go to the trouble of going all the way back, and maybe you've forgotten where the seeds are. I don't know if they even give you any hints, except for maybe going to the fortune teller guy.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that I did not like that. But I will tell you, I did like Chapter 7, though. I liked the sort of ice crystal palace. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad. I like the how you had to kind of go behind the mirror, so to say, and to get through it. It's a nice puzzle dungeon kind of thing that isn't. It isn't there isn't a ton of backtracking to where you're just like, why am I doing it this way? Like, it opens up kind of funny because Mario gets pinned for murder, which is just kind of like, whoa.
Then that's pretty much out of the blue, too. Somebody was just sort of like, well, my favorite writer is, they're like thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what?
it's weird. And you're just kind of like, okay, all right. Mario has been pinned for murder. These penguins are pretty serious about this shit. So,
and the thing is, it's resolved pretty damn quickly.
right.
Like, to the point of they didn't even need it.
Well, it's kind of like the guards, like, oh, he killed this dude. Well, if you could prove that you didn't kill this dude.
And then you meet the dude within, like, the next 10 seconds, and it's just like, why did they even put this in the game?
Why is this guard letting a... a possible
suspected murderer
just roam around the streets. It's like, I mean, yeah.
So I guess he knew it was going to get solved in 10 seconds. So
he knew the bitch.
The guy like walks in. He's just like, we thought you were dead. No. Oh, okay. You're free to go. It's like, what? Like, nobody even goes to his house to check if he's dead. Nobody. Nobody is, like, concerned except for the fact that this guy shows up when they think this man has been murdered. And it's like, what?
It's so stupid. It's funny.
It's so stupid mayor and stupid. That part was dumb. But I do like the castle.
Yeah,
I think the castle area is cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so let's move on to the last chapter. And this is chapter 8. And this is the final showdown sort of thing. So you've got all the stars. You're pretty much ready to go here, and it's decent. My problem with this area is I felt it was long. I felt that they kept throwing these sort of cannons and bullet bills at you over and over and over. They put so many of those damn cannons in that one part.
There's only four of them, dude. Four or five. They're easy.
We have to deal with all. I'm not saying they're hard. I'm saying that I didn't need five of them. I needed one of them. I was already so tired at this point.
They only had the bullet bulls, as you put it.
The bullet balls.
They only had them, like, what, twice before in the whole game? So they had to
Maybe not that much before the whole game, but.
They didn't show it very often. I can think of one other time, really, before the final area that they...
I was just done. I think I was just so impatient by this point, though. It doesn't help that Mario's so freaking slow, though, so you can't get past him.
What you do is you just hop on him, and it kills it, because usually there's just three? If you hop on him...
I forget if there's three. Yeah, probably two or three.
Yeah, if you hop on him, one instantly dies. You can just block them, and they just kill themselves, and you get experience. It just builds that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, personally, I didn't like that part, but apparently you have the strategy I didn't follow.
I have the talent and the skills to fight off Paper Mario enemies.
Right. Well, ultimately, in the end, you don't really need any skills in this game. That's kind of the problem with this game for myself, is that there is just too much sort of hand-holding and too much sort of scaling for battles in this game. Mm. There's a lot of sort of this concept of just, you hit me, I hit you, that was used a long time ago.
See who falls down first.
And basically see who falls down first. It does happen a lot in this game. You're allowed to hit the A button to increase your attack or possibly defend something. Now, in this game, though, the problem is the attacks are always fine. They're always consistent. But when you're defending against something, particularly against bosses, mm-hmm. even if you block something, you're probably only going to block one extra point of damage. So if the attack is 9, even if you block it, it's still 8. You take a large amount of damage, a lot, in this game when it comes to fighting bosses.
Right.
And I would say mostly, I wouldn't say that if you sort of understand the game, you're not going to be in trouble, but it just prolongs the fights. Mm-hmm. And I personally didn't like that. I'm not saying you need a game where you can just keep leveling up and break the game. Sometimes I enjoy that. I do. They didn't necessarily have to do that here, but they should have done something to sort of balance it out a little more, rather than just saying, we're going to keep this battle going so that it becomes an endurance battle.
Right. It is a battle of attrition rather than a battle of actual skill or anything.
Right. And I wouldn't say it's not that you don't need skill. You do need to sort of plan your battle as you're doing it, or slightly before if you can. But I just felt like there's just really weird scaling to me. I just didn't like it. I didn't like having to fight certain bosses for a long time. I just didn't like it.
That's why you should have used Luck Lester there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he would have helped, honestly. So, I don't know. But do you have anything else to add to that sort of...
Yeah, you definitely make a good point about that. It's really... The battles themselves are just really... especially, there's one fight that's actually harder than the final boss fight. It's the three anti-Shy Guys. Mm. The three black Shy Guys. I don't know if you got that.
I remember doing the one in the toy box. I don't know if I've done...
There's one where if you purposely miss... certain questions, because there's one of the doors in the final dungeon where it's asking you these questions.
Oh, right.
And I'm
right,
just
right.
Like, I wanted to see what it would do if I got them wrong, because they were like really stupid questions, like what Kylo Shy Guy came out first, you know, kind of thing. Was it the red one or the blue one or the yellow?
Well, some of those were annoying too, when there'd be like 50 guys coming out. And
well,
like,
it's just
how many blues did you see?
Yeah, it just took too long. I'm just kind of like, whatever. Right. I purposely just answered the wrong, and much to my chagrin, they three of the black Shy Guys pop out. So you have to fight three of the Shy Guys at once. And these guys...
They have like 75 hit points or something stupid,
they,
right?
They have high... Like, I think it's like 50.
Okay, well, still a
something,
lot.
But
especially if you got to fight three.
A lot, and they do about 10 damage.
10 damage. If, they're strong.
Yeah, man. They're really strong. And you don't... Your maxed health without any bonuses is 50.
Right.
And so you... Unless you confuse them or make them dizzy or whatever, you are in trouble.
Right, right.
And that was probably the toughest fight, and it took forever. And it's just like, come on, and it's just like, even some of the just remedial enemies. I did not want to fight like some of the earlier enemies if I had to go back to an area. I tried my damnedest not to run into anything. And this is the one and only time that I wish it was something like Earthbound, where you just kill the enemy instantly. So, I mean...
Yeah, and unfortunately, the scaling of experience points in this game, too, takes away. Like, even if you're forced to fight those weak little Goombas, you get nothing for it. You might get a couple coins.
Right.
So, and I don't mind it too much, but it is really annoying when you have to go back to an area for whatever reason, and you get nothing for it, basically.
Pretty much.
Coins are fine. Coins don't do a hell of a lot by the end of the game.
Right, yeah.
As is the case in most RPGs.
You're already maxed by... Like, I was already maxed by the sixth or seventh chapter. It's just like, okay,
right,
great, cool.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, the leveling up process in this game is very painfully slow.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel like you're rewarded very much, because when you do level up, you're forced to choose between three different options. And one is your health, so your hit points, your flower points, which is like your magic, and then your badge points. And personally, I like taking the badge points because the badges do help a lot. And I took mostly badge points at the start. But the game has such a low cap level on everything, so badge points are only 30. That doesn't give you a lot to play with when it comes to adjusting your stats,
right,
or attacks or whatever. And as you said, I think I actually had 60 hit points though, because I had attached two of those health badges, but I couldn't go over that.
Okay. Yeah. I knew.
And then I had very little flower points just cause I don't know. I have some trouble with some of the attacks, just my timing is off or whatever. So I personally like having a bit more health points.
You were not confident in yourself?
Not so much in the strategy, but there's some parts of this game where it's just like a gauntlet. There's no health around. You can only carry 10 items, which can be really annoying at times, especially when you're stuck having to trade items with people and you're trying to hold on to some health items, but then they're like, well, we need you to bring this seed to this guy. And you're like, well, I have
10 items. But I don't want to.
Right. I only have 10 items. Now I got to drop one of my better items so I can pick up this thing to continue the story. It would have been nice if maybe they do have like a special items page. It would have been nice if they allowed you to put those things there too,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. So again, it's not the worst. It's just, there's a lot of management in this game that feels almost trivial. Like it just didn't need to be there. For me, and maybe that's why I kind of think like kids would have a tough time playing this game.
Yeah, I think having a 10 item limit really, I mean, yeah, it does make it a little bit harder, but it also, I think it only makes it really harder for kids because it's right. Just an item management thing, and kids for the most part don't manage things very well.
So. Right. They're gonna just think like, well, I can just keep buying stuff and whatnot, and or I can just keep using this item, it's no problem, or whatever. Just
right.
And I think as a whole, the battles, they might be able to get the hang of the timing and stuff, but you're still going to take damage in this game. It's impossible not to take damage. It's just impossible.
You have to do certain things to like do kind of limit the damage. That's what's
right. That's the thing. You're just limiting the damage all the time. So, and makes it a tough game. And on one hand, I like that. It's a bit surprising that this game was challenging. And on the other hand, it's like, well, they could have softened it up a little bit.
I mean, this is for kids, for Christ's sakes, intelligence system.
Well, it seems to be, right? It seems like it's supposed to be, but...
what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I really don't know. So that's a bit of the thing. I mean, I played this game after I bought the N64 back in 2002. And I really, really liked the game when I first bought it, and I played through it and I enjoyed it. And this time it was a chore, unfortunately. Like it just doesn't feel like the game should be 25 to 30 hours. It just doesn't feel like it needs to be that long.
It's a really, as you said earlier, it's a slow burn, and right. It's a very slow burn.
And it's almost kind of painful as being a Mario game. Mm. Maybe in another RPG or something, I could just be like, whatever. But for some reason, Mario, it feels like it almost takes a bit of the fun out for me just to be like, I have to play this for 25 hours.
I think also the fact that you have a much better RPG in Legend of the Seven Stars really, really, I mean, yeah, you could argue that, I guess.
I think people would definitely argue that, but...
I will say they're wrong, but... but, I don't know. For me, I find Legend of the Seven Stars a much more enjoyable game. Better music. It's just, it's a lot more, just a lot cleaner in its movements, I guess you could say. It just, it's not stiff. It's not slow. if there's anything, it's slow. I mean, that just burns my hide. But,
right.
I don't know. I think because of that, it kind of hurt my image of this game a lot more after having played it. It's just kind of like, man. I'm almost really happy I didn't spend what little money I had on this game. Otherwise, I might have been really upset. kind of thing.
Fair enough. I mean, I did purchase it this time for the Wii from the Virtual Console, but I don't feel like I wasted my money because it was still interesting to try it again. But it makes me a little sad that I enjoyed it so much just, you know, 10, 11 years ago, and to come back to it and kind of really not like it almost at all in a lot of ways, not in every way, but in a lot of ways, it is really saddening to me.
It ruined the dream.
Well, I wouldn't even say it was a dream, it's unfortunate. But before we close out, and if there's still other things, we can still tie up those loose ends. Let's quickly play a round of 10 Degrees of Terror. Taylor Terror. So 10 degrees here.
10 Degrees of Taylor Terror.
So the ones I went with this time is, you had mentioned to me, you were thinking I was going to take the side characters, the extra characters. And I decided to actually not do that for a number of reasons. One, it just seemed too generic and too right in your face. Like, yeah, this is what you should use. So I said, no, we're going to actually take the bosses in the game.
Oh, snaps.
I think
what are we grading
this is
them
interesting.
On?
We're going to be grading them on sort of challenge.
Okay.
Look.
Okay.
And sort of closure for the chapter.
Okay.
Like, how well do you think they help kind of tie up the whole chapter?
Okay.
So the first one we have here is the Koopa Bros, who are like basically Ninja Turtle knockoffs from chapter one.
But what about the King Koopa from the prologue?
Ah, forget about that.
What?
We'll do Koopa later.
King Goomba, that's what I meant.
Duh, definitely forget about
what?
That guy.
No, he's awesome. He's got like...
He's all right. He's got googly, googly eyes.
He's got that mustache.
Was it red and white striped like wrestler tights?
He looked like he'd really definitely fit the king mold of too much incest in the line kind of thing.
He was, probably. I take it you enjoyed him a lot.
For what little he was in it, yes.
And he's very,
very,
very much not in this game, pretty much. So
I was very sad to see that. I was hoping for a reoccurrence from those guys, but
no, he was done. So anyways, yeah, the sort of Ninja Turtle knockoffs there.
I like the challenge wise. I like the challenge for it when you first fight them. Well, like, right. When you fight them, because it's a little tough. Because if you go in kind of like, oh yeah, this isn't so bad, and they'll knock you on your tail real quick.
Yeah.
Challenge. I would say it's a little up there. I don't like them personally. They feel like really crappy versions of the Axum Rangers, and the Axum Rangers themselves were pretty...
Already a ripoff.
Already crappy. Well, not crappy, but just kind of silly.
Eh.
But yeah, I just didn't really care for them. The one thing that sticks out to me is how they were kind of introduced, and they don't show it on screen, but they have this golden light when they're showing Bowser.
That's another Bowser moment,
right?
So.
They're showing,
and he's kind of like, whoa,
it's like, holy shit, man, you guys are serious. Go, you got the,
you guys are gonna do it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming it was the tank, because
it was the tank. Yeah.
Either it was the tank or just them being in a tower formation, but I don't know, like, I really goofy. I would honestly, altogether,
out of 10,
probably a 5.
I give him like a 3. So
I
don't really like him. No, okay. We'll move on to chapter 2, and that was the Tutan Koopa, and he was this sort of goofy. I don't even know what we can call him. He's just like a goofy,
like a pharaoh
type weirdo with a chomp,
summoning chomps.
Right.
I didn't think he was that hard. Kind of out of nowhere, really. It just seems, I guess, not exactly out of nowhere, because he's going with the pyramid motif. But
right.
For the chapter closing, it's just kind of like, surprise, cockbags, I've got a chunk.
And right.
I don't know. He sits a little bit less for me at around a 4. Because the freaking Koopa Bros, they at least had some sort of significant
backstory.
This asshole just kind of pops up, and he's like, I got a chomp, and I just summon chomps, and you're just like, right. Hey, dude, whatever.
I like the chomps in that area, though, so I'm gonna give him a 6.
Oh,
I like the chomps. I think they're pretty fun in there. I like how they come out of the wall and stuff. Uh-huh. So like the pictographs and things. Okay, so moving on from there, we'll quickly move on to chapter 3, and that was the, now I don't know if this guy has a different name in Japanese, but the, like, was it like the Tuba Blubber or something?
Yeah, he has
like, Tuba
Blubber. He has a different, I don't quite remember his name right now, but he has a different name than what you had told me before. It was something way out there.
The Invincible Tuba Blubber, or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
Whatever they call him.
What do I think of him?
Yeah.
He's pretty integral to the chapter.
Yeah.
I like the concept of him. He just looks really patched together. I mean, he's supposed to.
He does have a giant patch on his chest.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. He's kind of dumb, but I like it. The challenge, it's not really that hard, but he ties in well with the chapter, so I don't know. Give him 7.5.
Okay, yeah, probably about a 7.5 too. I think I like the look of him, actually. It's kind of like a meshing of a bunch of different Koopas and Bowser himself, and I think he's kind of funny looking, and he's kind of fun. Eating ghosts, like nobody's business. So, all right, let's move on to the fourth chapter, which was in the toy box, and that would be the kind of annoying Shy Guy tank thing.
Or just the army of Shy Guys.
Or the army of Shy Guys, sure.
I like that fight just because I like Shy Guys, so it made me happy. And it is the Shy Guy area, and Shy Guys doing their thing. So I'd probably put it around at like an 8.5.
Okay, fair enough. I'd probably give about a... I like the army much more than the tank, so I'll probably just give him about a 7. But moving on from there, just... Chapter 5, and we have ourselves a giant lava piranha plant.
Which is kind of weird to me. I don't know, just because it's coming out of the lava. It's
well, anything coming out of lava would more or less look pretty weird.
Yeah, but... yeah, just slightly. I don't know. This is kind of another sort of out of the blue boss in a way, because you're just kind of like, oh, it's at the end of the dungeon, so there has to be a boss kind of thing. And it happens to be this... piranha plant, which for me it wasn't so difficult, but that was because I lucked out and was using what was his name, Sushi, what was that,
the girl, yeah, right? Sushi, yeah, I was too, actually. So for whatever reason I just had her in there, and if you have her in there, those flames get extinguished pretty well,
right? And I think that, yeah, that's kind of what it boiled down to, is fire area, might as well use something that spits water. So I like it. I like piranha plants. I like fighting piranha plants. They're kind of cool. Yoshi's Island. but not so challenging. So 7.
Okay, I'd probably give it about a
6.5, 7. No?
If you don't have the sushi character in your team, this will be a pretty tough fight.
No.
I think. I mean, you do have to fight it twice. So I think if you're using another character, it's probably a lot more challenging.
Goombario.
Well, Goombario makes... just about all the fights challenging, because I don't think he can attack a lot of these things.
Probably not.
But anyways, we're going to move on to chapter 6 here, and that is the Huff and Puff.
Yeah, this fight is long. It is very long.
This is one of the longest fights, and I hate it.
It can be rough. I was using the lackluster dude, and it wasn't so bad, but it was still a little close. It wasn't, especially for just that area.
Damn long. You already hate the area as it is. I hated this boss. He comes out of nowhere. I really hated this boss. I don't like that it can continually heal itself. It's frustrating. In that way, it was frustrating. He's not so tough. It's just, as you said, it's long. Right. And so you just get drained from fighting this thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're not set for it, it will be a very long fight.
Right. I'm giving it a 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to score this.
I really don't like it.
Yeah, he gets a 4. I don't like him.
Yeah. Okay, then chapter 7, and we have ourselves the Crystal King.
Yeah, he's tough. This dude is a little tough, I thought. He can heal himself without, having stupid nonsense to heal him. He just... regens for whatever and
he, quite a bit of health,
and yeah, it's a lot, and he can confuse your character, or he can confuse Mario or something. Shock him, and he just did that to me every freaking time. So I was having to use, I don't remember who I was using. I was using somebody, and I was just pretty much left to use the support character because Mario was in a constant state of just sitting there. Tark.
Couldn't move.
So, yeah, it was a little, it was lengthy and tough for me. So I'd probably, I like his design too. So I'd throw, I don't know, about an 8.
Nice. Yeah, I like this one too. I'd probably give about 8.5. I think I had Watt, and I think it was not that hard with Watt.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember why, but it, I mean, I used Watt for most of the bosses. So, but yeah, I remember this being a pretty challenging but enjoyable fight at the same time. All right, I'm going to skip. I mean, I'm skipping. There's a bunch of like sort of mid bosses and stuff here and there. Right. And the Junior Koopa, whatever his name is. I don't even care about him. Yeah. Look at how cool that. No, I don't care. Just like, I really don't. So we're just going to go straight into Bowser for the 8th and final chapter. Now, the first Bowser is sort of just like a, I wouldn't say weak version, but he's like the setup for
it's the beta version.
The big battle. Yeah, right. Right. So he's all right. I mean, he's got the big flame attack. Mm-hmm. He has, doesn't he have a jump attack too?
I think he does. I know he uses it in the second kind of form kind of thing. So.
Right. But yeah, he's not too bad. I mean, again, I already like the design. I think he looks so ridiculous. Like his mouth is just agape all the time. And he's just like, eh. When he's talking, his mouth barely moves. When he walks, he's got like one animation where one leg moves and that's it. I just found it completely hilarious watching this guy come on screen. I'm going to rate both battles together. And I would say I would give this about an 8. It's a little too long though on the second end. The fact that he can just heal 30 hit points and heal and you could keep getting caught with that and it could be really long.
Right. Yeah, he did that like once or twice with me where he healed himself in that second form.
But I think he did 3 or 4 for me. It took a while.
Okay, because it didn't take that long. I had the jump set, so like I was doing about 9 damage with the jump.
Oh, nice.
Or like 9 to 10 damage or so with that. And so it was nice. So it didn't take that long, but it is a bit long of a fight. And I don't know. And plus you have like a kind of the a in between during the fight, there's this scene that plays out and you're just kind of like, okay, I see what it's doing.
Right.
I don't know. I'd probably go around 8.5 for that.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, that wraps up the little
10 points of Taylor Terror.
10 points of Taylor Times.
Not quite.
10 degrees of Taylor.
Something. There we go. Right, words.
Right. Fair enough. All right. Well, I don't know if you've got anything else you'd
I
like
just want to make one big point. And sure. Even though I said that I liked the song, that is one of the few songs I liked from this game, and it saddens me. I don't know if she had a big hand in it, but Tsujiyoko Yuka, she does the music for the Fire Emblem games. She helped with this music.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It is not very good. It is really, like, I think I remember reading an interview that she did with it, because I was curious as to why there wasn't a lot of diversity to the music, why it was kind of bleh. And it says she wanted to keep the original kind of energy of the music, of the original themes of the music and stuff and for Mario, and I'm like, and damn it, Yuka, you really botched it on this one. I love your Fire Emblem music, but you really, really did not have it for this one. Mm. And whoever the other person that was with her, the other composer, there was somebody else. And so that's it.
Yeah. I didn't know who composed this, but I wouldn't say it's bad music. It's just nothing was memorable. Nothing really sticks out, unfortunately, which is really unfortunate. Mario has got such a great library of music and nothing here stands out.
Right.
And I can see what, if she was like putting a big hand in this or not, I don't know, but you can definitely see that they were trying to sort of regurgitate a lot of music from Mario World and from this and that. And that's just too bad. Like, it's, they had a good chance to sort of be like, okay, this is a new Mario universe. Let's make some new stuff. Of course, they always need a little bit of that Mario flair, but I don't know. It's so, everything feels so like it's in the background and you just don't care.
Yeah,
about
and it's just like
the battle music isn't catchy.
You know what I remember the most? It's the fucking, the danger sound. When you're low on health, when you're in a pinch, that's the only
because it happens
sound
so often.
That can be, that's the only thing that like sticks into my head, and that's depressing.
Right. Yeah,
like when I think of the, seriously, like all the other RPG Mario RPG games, they have some really kick-ass music. Even the final boss music for final boss music for some of the games are really awesome. This game, no.
Who knows if that had anything to do with limitations on the N64 or if it was just they were, again, this could, is that they didn't have enough time to put it together, or was it just sort of like they felt like this was the best possible soundtrack they could put with this? I don't know. But if that was the case, that is really too bad that it seems like somebody wasn't there to kind of catch it and say, well, no, I'm not really feeling this at all.
Right.
But, yeah,
but that's it. I would say if you haven't tried it, just to give it a shot. I mean, you can't, like, both Sushi and I, we picked it up for off the virtual console because I was not about to buy a 64 and hunt this thing down.
No. You go ahead with that. I'm going to say if you have played this game when it had first come out and you're thinking of replaying it, just kind of be aware of the sort of time change that's happened within the 10 years and I don't know if you can be really open-minded to it, but I personally was very disappointed. My memories have just kind of, all the good memories are kind of gone, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. You know, I like revisiting games like this, and usually I don't do it within a 10-year span. Mm. It does happen sometimes, but it is just, it's too bad. It feels like this game was, from its time, great, and now it's just, it's just not anymore. Mm. But that's just my opinion. I'm sure lots of people will really go back and be like, what are you talking about? This game is so awesome still. So if you love it, great.
More good power to you.
I hope you can enjoy it. But for me, it just doesn't turn the trick anymore.
I was really excited to try this game out because, like I said, I didn't get to play it when it was first coming out. So I was really anticipating it. And it's... It just doesn't, compared to like the Mario and Luigi, I think it's just because of that. And it's sad because this is the first kind of game that I've had of the Paper Mario series. And I'm kind of like, I don't even know if I want to even try Thousand Year Door, let alone the third one or the sticker, the blah, blah, blah.
Sticker
blah,
Star.
Sticker Star one. There we go. Yeah, I don't. And I know Sticker Star might be different, but anywho, this it just really solidified my idea that there are not very many good games on 64. And I don't want to say it that way, but it's a decent game, just not a good, great game.
Right.
So, but you are more, anybody who's listening is more than welcome to agree or disagree as much as they want on that.
Yes, so. And we'd be more than happy to continue discussion if you have things to say. So
yeah, let's send this trick back home.
All right, so that was our very in-depth look at the game Paper Mario for the N64. So we hope you enjoyed listening, and again, if you do have something to comment or about this show or others, we're always open to it, so please send us your ideas.
Indeed.
All right, so with that, thanks again for listening, everyone, and we will catch you next time.